Good morning and welcome to It's Mind the Gap Time. I like how Gabriel and his homies concluded the show, you know. Remember when the children of Israel, so it's about the Israelites. Okay. Well, Egypt is in Africa. Well, they don't like us. You see, now that's how you do it. You became a little bit Kavango-ish, comedian-ish, you know, towards the end of your show there, but I can take it from here. Thank you very much for that wonderful introduction from yours truly, moi. I really don't like how we have named some of these holidays like Good Friday. Good Friday? Good for who? We're not all teachers or police officers. Some of us are still dead broke. What do you mean a Good Friday? Some of these holidays must be, you know, the dates must be shifted here and there. And make sure that, you know, we put it at least if we are going to have a Good Friday once a month, let's have, this is just at the top of my mind here. We're in April. Let's have a Good Friday on the 20th. And then we find another Good Friday somewhere, you know, after the 25th. And we have one just, a month end. Take this year, for example. I think the good idea should have been to have a Good Friday today. That's for teachers and police officers. And then next week on the 25th, we have, another Good Friday for those that get paid in the 25th. I'm told these guys that are hiding our money in the bank say, you know, how can we help you, sir? But when you are broke, they're like, well, security! No sense. And then we have one Good Friday, one Good Friday for month end somewhere, on the 2nd of... on the 2nd of May. So, this year would have been brilliant. Like the 18th, today is the 18th. The 18th of April, Good Friday. For those that get paid on the 20th. And then 25th, next week Friday. Good Friday for those that get paid on the 25th. And then, on the 2nd of, on the 2nd of May, Good Friday for those of us, month enders. That would have made sense. But we only have one Good Friday. One. Today. Although in Namibia, every Friday is Good Friday. Okay, every Friday when you have money is Good Friday. Every Friday when you are broke, even if that Friday is on the calendar, it's labeled on the calendar as Good Friday, is still not a very Good Friday. So, I think these are some of the things that we should edit on this whole Roman calendar thing as Africans. Before you start saying, hey, well, it's on the calendar, we can't change it. You do realize the whole calendar thing was changed from a Gregorian, from the Julian to the Gregorian, and who knows how far back it goes. So, before you start telling me, no, we can't change, yes, you can. It was changed from the Julian to the Gregorian, so, we can change it. We can make Good Friday inclusive. Now I'm just firing you with your own progressive, with your own progressive language here. Let's come up with the most inclusive Good Friday. So this Good Friday of today is not very inclusive because those that get paid on the 25th and the month enders like yours truly here, we're still broke. So believe me, the Friday is not good. So. If we are going to be inclusive now that we have a female president, and my God, are we rubbing that in the face of everyone who is asking? Also, female vice president, first female Navy commander, first female. The next thing you know, we have first female national anthem. At this point, everything is becoming female really fast. Should start shopping for Brazilian hair because you never know what direction this thing's, the direction this thing is taking. The next thing you know, you are sitting in a job interview and. One of the questions will soon be, so, what's your take on female leadership? Is that part of the job I'm gonna be doing? No, not really, we just get, it's either that or, do you plan to be female somewhere in your life? You know, sometimes in your life, do you plan on being female? Oh, well, thanks to these things that was introduced by the LGBTQ guys as identifying. If I'm asked that question in an interview, I'll just turn the card, you know, the Uno reverse around and tell them, well, actually, I identify myself as a, well, I told you guys that my name is Helmut, right? Yeah, scratch that. For the past 5 minutes that I've been sitting here, I have come in touch with my inner femininity. That's the word, right? I have no idea. I feel like, Helmut is not good enough. So I'm gonna go with, Tata Helmut. I feel like that's not a good one. So because you just brought up this whole feminine thing, how about, you know, Meme Hermina? I mean, it's sketchy. Although I have pointed this out before, I'm keeping that one for when there's mandatory military conscription. If at some point a bunch of leaders on the African continent decide to go bananas and come up with this whole mandatory conscription to the front line of whatever military conflict, we have a lot of them going on the African continent alone. At that point, I'm going, did you say every able-bodied man? First of all, when you put able-bodied in that sentence, you have already discredited me out. God made me short and slim, so able-bodied, especially when it comes to something, you know, physical confrontation, I'm already counted out of that. We want men. At this point, the first thing I'm going to do is look for Vandelino's number and ask him where he got the, you know, Maria Delgado name, so that I can just go there and get myself one name and voila! Throw in some nails, heels, fake eyelashes, very easy. I'm told they are put in with glue. Ladies, from the moment I was told that the artificial nails I see and the artificial eyelashes that I see are all, are all secured by glue, I have found new respect for you guys. Glue on your eyes in the name of beauty. Although it's kind of difficult to criticize you guys on that. I mean, the things we do to get you guys to go home with us is just not very admirable. I know. So, may I point out that we lie to each other a lot as adults. We lie to each other to get jobs in job interviews. We lie to each other to get jobs in political campaigns. We lie to each other to have kids. One of the most very uncomfortable question if you can ask your parents is, how did you guys meet? Eish, that story is going to be very serious. Now, if your father is tall, dark, and handsome, and good-looking, chances are very high that story is going to go something like, he just approached me. Well, he's good-looking, therefore, well, he has the confidence. He just approached me, and he was, you know, with all his sweaty muscles, or just coming out of the gym, and he gave me a compliment on my blue dress that I was wearing, and that's how your father swept me off my feet. And then there are those that are married or dating someone who is, how do I put this, way out of your league. Guilty. Radio stations are off. IT! Radio station! Where's that? Basically, check your frequency across the country, across the country, and, you know, we'll fix it. Thank you. For the meantime, you can download the app, or you can just listen via the website. Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. Now, where was I? If your father is good looking, do you have that romantic story? Or if your father is loaded, or if your father is good looking, or if your father is both, you are going to be listening to a very romantic story of how your parents meet. But if your father is broke, or worse, is broke and ugly, and your mom is smoking hot, that's one heck of a romantic story you're looking at there. That's just, chances are very high, the story is going to sound something like that. You know, it's going to sound something like this. It took me 3 years to say hi to her. Because I was there thinking like, what? This one? Ain't no way she'll go out with me.
Relatives, see, relatives, don't, relatives will be the end of me. Un momento.
Now, where were we? It took me 3 years to ask her for her number. And when she gave me her number, it took me another 3 years for me to say hi. And it took another 3 years for me to ask her out. And another, but the good thing about, not very good looking guys, especially the short Kavango comedians, is that, even though they're taking 3 years to say hi and 3 years to ask for your number and 3 years to text you, assuming you keep losing and renewing the number, the moment you say yes, the next day, wedding. Just, well, we ugly guys don't waste time. You say yes today. Because, we've been told that we are always forward. You know what, how can you, well, you just met her. Well, you just met her. You guys just started dating. How can you get married tomorrow? Look, you don't understand. We have been married for the past, well, okay, how do I put this? From the moment I saw her before I said hi, we got married that day. We had kids the next day. At this point, we have grandkids. That's what a lot of you good-looking guys will not understand. Those, especially those of you with, you know, with all the biceps and those of you with vrupas, you don't understand that. But hey, we have something going on for us, those of us that are broke. It's like, you know, being broke has this thing of, you know, has a way of motivating you to be good in bed. But anyway, today is Good Friday, but anyway, we're not supposed to be talking about that. I mean, which sucks the fun out of the whole Good Friday thing. But 5 minutes to the hour of 10. Now, today is Friday, even if the Friday is not good in any way, Eagle FM can make your Friday good by bringing you the Evillager in your inbox, slowly but surely. Your WhatsApp inbox. All you just have to do is subscribe by sending the word subscribe via WhatsApp to 08120004144, and you're in business. And please do remember to save the number so you are not a stranger to Team Eagle FM. So even when you'll be a good listener and a good reader, an avid listener and avid reader of our, you know, of materials being dispensed by, Team Eagle FM and, Team Eagle FM. And well, when you run into us, in the field, you'll be able to, you'll be able to say, hi, how are you guys? I'm a huge listener of you guys. I read your paper. I like this writer because, well, he writes about this. I like that writer. That's what we are looking for when we run into you in the field. Even though the chances of running into me in the field, those chances are slim to none because, well, this is my casa. And when you come here for an interview, we'll say hi and, we'll catch up. But anyway, so please don't forget to subscribe. And if you find yourself in part of the country where you don't have the frequency, and you are listening via the app, please share that wisdom with others, those ones that would like to listen and they have smartphones. And we should really start getting smartphones at this point. And Katosh, really? In the 21st century? Why the heck are you doing that? But anyway, so 6.9 million prepaid water roll out in Rundu. Well, now, if you saw those, they have those, it was, and I don't like the fact that Namuwata made that, those things public. Although it's okay, let me explain. You know how a bunch of local authorities across the country own Namuwata billions of dollars, and Kavango West is not helping. So, prepaid water meter is actually not that of a bad idea. Why? Because guys, we keep asking the government to provide goods and services, but all the goods and services they provide cost money. If they take, for example, the service is supplying you with water, even if the government, out of the kindness of their heart, supplies you that water for free, build it is not giving them the pipes for free. They have to buy the pipes, and the money will have to come from somewhere. See, that's why your pocket is the main target. You're welcome. That's basically how the world works, unfortunately. So instead of just I think this prepaid water thing is very interesting. It's a very interesting implementation. Although, okay, a lot of people are going to be finding their way to the river after they find out that they cannot afford this whole prepaid meter thing. 6.9 million Namibian dollars investment will fund the first phase of a prepaid water meter rollout in Rundu, with more than 1,021 households already connected to the system. The Rundu Town Council officially launched phase one of the project on Wednesday following its implementation, which began in February. Beneficiaries so far includes residents from the Safari, Karapamwe, Tutungeni. Yeah, I know. It's like Tura. Tutungeni Ndama is more like Tura, but for Rundu. And Francisca Kupembona confirmed Rundu Town Council. Okay, acting CEO of Rundu Town Council, Francisca Kupembona. Not Kupembona. That's the quick break.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Good evening, good evening, listeners. The time is now 9:00.
Un momento. I just have to make time to... I hate to do this, but also, murder someone from IT.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back. All clear. Just a minute past the hour of 10, and if you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap Comedy with Helmed on Eagle FM, and we're going through the implementation of, a gloss through. I don't go through it. Which is why I recommended that you subscribe to the e-villager so you can read the honest truth that's provided. You can read the article for yourself. Because when I'm going through it here on Mind the Gap, when I'm going through it on on Home Run, you can take that serious. But when I'm going through it on Mind the Gap, and you take that serious and you end up with a heart attack, that's not on me. Now that we have that out of the way, you all have a blessed day. Moving on. So, prepaid meter. What does that mean? It's like, it's like recharge, but for water. You're welcome. I don't know why they like using this fancy language. Prepaid, blah, 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 verbosity. Just, be honest with the people. In other words, if you are not going to be able to recharge, you are not going to be able to drink water. In the same way that if you don't recharge, you don't make a call. Oh dear. Capitalism is kicking in. It's what we get for adopting systems we don't fully understand. We'll come to Easter, not Easter. We'll come to Good Friday and basically a historical run through. As you all know, I love history and I like to make fun of people. And if those people are making fun of mostly a bunch of dead guys, even better, because I don't have to worry about them, running into them in person and therefore risking them punching me in the face. See, Good Friday, a foreign concept, but we will be, I'll be with you shortly on that. But first of all, I would like to lay out, something that is, something that I find fascinating, especially about, geopolitics. But before we get to that, we have to understand that, one thing I like to see is that empires do a lot of things during the, during the course of their lifespan. The reason why they do that is for control. Nothing. Control lays the foundation over why empires do the things that they do. One guy on social media I ran into on social media pointed out the whole US-China thing in a very fascinating way. It's not the textbook example or more like the reality on the ground of what's going on, but it's just something that's very thought-provoking. Homeboy pointed out that what Trump is doing with his tariffs is not an accident. He's actually castrating the American economy, America, both politically and economically. And whether he knows it or not, that's the most likely result of what his actions are going to achieve. Economic and political castration of his country. Maybe not his company. Maybe not his buddies, not his buddy source of income. But the overall general economy, especially for small businesses, those ones have it bad. Now, from the 14 all the way to the 1700s, the Spanish were at the top of the geopolitical and the geoeconomical food chain. And these empires had a way of acquiring resources to build their empires, that's what empires do. They figure out a way to acquire resources to make themselves and everyone else that's in line with their goal very rich. That's the reason why Saudi Arabia and Qatar are filthy rich and Iran and Iraq are not very rich and they're actually under sanctions. Why? Because, well, Saudi Arabia and now all these are countries in the, in the Middle East. Some are filthy rich, some are extremely poor, and that's mostly because of sanctions. Now, here's the thing. Why is that? It's because, well, somewhere in 1953, one of the Iranian president said, you know what, since we call this whole oil drilling thing an Anglo-Iranian thing, how about we involve the Iranians, in practical, not just in theory. Because let's face it, you guys are chopping all the money, even though you are drilling all the oil in our country. And well, his behind was overthrown thanks to the CIA and MI6. And now, from that time, Iran have never recovered. Now, Iran dared to say, I want to run my own country. And the very same guys, preaching democracy were like, you can't do that. It's either we run you or we topple your president. Now, let me run you through through a timeline of empires. Just the recent one. We're not going to go to the Babylonian, the Medo-Persians and all those things. Now, here's the thing. The Spanish and the Portuguese, their model of acquiring resources was kill, conquer, plunder, genocide, steal gold in the name of our Lord and Savior with the approval of the Pope. I wish I was making that up. Seriously, the Portuguese and the Spanish both got what is called papal decree back in the 1400s. Okay, the 1430 something and 1480 something the Spanish got theirs. Now, the Portuguese got theirs to expand into modern day Guinea and steal people, literally. And then, you know, force them into slavery and, you know, literally buy and sell people. As long as you didn't have blue eyes and blonde hair, you know, you were a commodity for them. So there, what did they do? They stole resources using the name of Jesus. You know, the same way that you have people in the bedroom nowadays screaming the name of our Lord and Savior, doing very unholy things. Why I brought that up is beyond me. But anyway, that was basically the Spanish and the Portuguese politically back in the 1700s. They were screaming and they were setting villages on fire in the name of Jesus. Spanish Inquisition. Those guys, like one gentleman, his name I think was Tocamada. Those guys basically killed and plundered everyone they ran into in the name of God. But what happened to every village they went into? They killed everyone that did not agree with their way of doing things. And they collected their literature and burned all of it. If they found you with some, you know, if they found you with any type of writing, they burned it. And they stole all your gold, you know, in the name of Jesus. The Spanish and the Portuguese did that. But that was the Portuguese, that's the 14 to 1700 way of doing things. And then, fast forward to the, you know, to the emergence, more like a rise to power of the British and France. Now, the British went to colonize, control, exploit, and unless you disagreed with their way of doing things, the British and the French, they didn't set your village on fire. What they most likely did was, they made you run your village for them. If you agreed to run your village for them, you were good. If you disagreed, that's when they civilized you. They didn't civilize anyone. Actually, they were the most, you know, the irony there is, they showed up and found thriving civilizations and committed one of the most uncivilized acts, and then they called that civilization, civilizing. What did they do in the middle of their civilizing? They stole resources. The very same thing the Portuguese and the Spanish did. They went there in the name, you know, they went out in the name of spreading the word of God in the name of Jesus. Bottom line, they always stole resources while doing that. The Spanish and the Portuguese and the British and the French have in common? They all went out, stole something, and then, well, they found a disguise to disguise it under. Let's go and civilize while we're stealing gold. Let's go and, convert people in the name of our Lord and Savior while we're stealing gold. And now, 1700s, that's where we are. 17 to 1800s, that's when, the modern day United States is in its fetal stage, you know. It's just been the Americas, quote unquote, have just been fertilized by England. Now, the US had a different model. You know, instead of storming into your country and then, you know, taking slaves and then take and sell, although they practiced that in the early days of their empire, they figured out that it was not actually a good way of doing business. And, they changed to a different business model, or more like a different colonizing model. Then they were like, well, their goal was to trade, topple, and profit. Instead of creating an outpost, take for example in Windhoek, in the same way that German did, they created German outpost Tanzania. The British did the same thing, creating outposts left, right, and center. The Americans were like, no, we are not going to do that. Instead of creating an American outpost everywhere, in all other countries, what we are going to do is, well, we will just find a puppet amongst yourself, and then we'll mold them to run your country on our behalf. Now, the way that they will do this is they will have to allow our multinational corporations to operate in that country, or our military will come in and topple whoever that poor guy is in power, and then we'll put in our, you know, our own. The one who will agree with us. And by the way, did we mention that whoever will agree with us is going to be filthy rich? Ask Mobutu Seseko. And also, well, John Bethel Bukasa, that guy is my favorite. I know. Diabolical. Now, the new model that's coming up. Now, if you look at the US, for example, the US figured out that, instead of creating an outpost, why colonize someone with an army when you can colonize them with debt? I know. So the Bretton Woods institutions in 1913 comes in. Remember, that's why one of the reasons why the creation of the Bretton Woods institutions, this is the World Bank and IMF, is in the whole conspiracy world, why it's tied to the sinking of the Titanic. It's because, well, a lot of conspiracy theorists seem to have an idea that, the sinking of the Titanic was not an accident, because a bunch of very rich guys that opposed the implementation of the Bretton Woods institution, and then using it as a colonial tool to sink pretty much every country nose first, in debt. A lot of very rich guys that opposed the implementation of the Bretton Woods institutions were on the Titanic, and when the Titanic sank and they died, and then, well, come enter 1913, the Bretton Woods institutions were implemented. But like I pointed out earlier, proving that will require one to do a lot of reading. I have time for comedy. A lot of reading? Nah, not much into that. Definitely not conspiracy, but anyway. It's very interesting. And then enter China. China seems to be this emerging empire. China seems to be an emerging empire. The US seems to be a declining empire. How do you know that an empire is declining? First of all, empires rule via, iron fist for a very long time, to the point where they forget how to negotiate. It's like having a muscular guy around the block. If you are a muscular guy, why do you have to negotiate with anyone? All you just have to do is muscle your way through getting whatever you want. But let's say you are involved in a car accident and your behind is confined to a wheelchair. Now you cannot punch anyone. So, negotiating is something that you will have to learn with time, because, well, you are not used to saying, may I please have that. You are used to say, I will have that, or I will panel beat your face. So, in the 1800s, the British started, believe it or not, in the 1800s, the British started fighting against slavery. That's one thing the British like to rub in every African's face. Yeah, but well, we were the first to, we were one of the first countries in the West to abolish slavery. Although that is true, the reason behind the abolishing had nothing to do with growing a conscience or morality. It had nothing to do with that. 1800s, the American empire was growing. The British empire was declining. And like every empire that's in decline, they did not like an idea of a new guy on the block growing up. So they looked at what feeds the American economy? Slave labor. And the British went like, hang on a second. If we can abolish slavery and then send our army to go and stop every ship across the planet that's transporting slavery, the Americans will not have any way of, they will not have any way of, supporting their plantations labor-wise, and therefore they will not have any way of supporting their economy, and will still remain on top. How'd that work out? It didn't work. The American empire still grew. The British empire still went on a nosedive decline. And history really repeats itself, really, because now you are, now we are witnessing the exact same thing with the US and China. China seems to be an emerging empire, and America is not loving it. And therefore, America is throwing every piece of accusation to the Chinese. And the Chinese, for some very awesome reasons, they are just building. They are not, declining empires. Declining empires like war. Because they will go to any end to stop any empire that is emerging. They like wars. Which explains why the Americans have been all over East China Sea. What are you doing in East China Sea? It's in the name, East China Sea. It's in the name. So that's how you know that to some degree, they are willing to some degree to go to a physical, military conflict. If it means suppressing, the growth of China. And China is not playing along. And it's really you see the same thing with bullies. The best way to piss off a bully is every insult he hurls at you, tell him thank you. And then just walk away. That burns. Because the reason why a bully is insulting you is because they want you to react back in a certain way. So they feed off the energy that you are giving off. When you are not reacting back, it really sucks. So now you have tariffs left, right, and center being thrown from the US. And China is like, okay, fine. So let's play the tariff war. So what you're seeing here is most likely the same thing that the British was going through with the Americans in the 1800s. An empire is in decline, and a new empire is emerging somewhere, and the bigger empire is not happy. It's like, being everyone's favorite child in the family, and then all of a sudden a new baby is born. You feel very threatened. Like, no, they are not going to buy toys for me anymore. Of course, you're behind this. Grow now. And, they are not going to love me just the same. Pretty much the same thing is going on globally. It has nothing to do with democracy. It has nothing to do with Chinese misinformation or national security. And, the reason why I'm saying the whole Chinese misinformation is that you have to understand all the big countries have what they call intelligence community. These are, or what they call spies. These are basically trained government sanctioned liars and killers. Take for example, the reason why every country, including Namibia, by the way, has what you call the national intelligence is because, where you cannot send the Namibian police and the Namibian defense force, you send the national intelligence. Because when they are caught, you tell them, well, we didn't send him. First of all, he doesn't have any badge. He doesn't have any uniform. That was just a lone actor. He had nothing to do with us. Bottom line is intelligence, and this is, and all countries know this. The British have their MI5, MI6. The Chinese have their, I don't know how, what name they call those ones. The Russians have their Spetsnaz. The Americans have their CIA, NSA, DIA. They have a lot of them. So, bottom line is, every big country knows that it's important to have intelligence. But my favorite is still, Ghana. Michael Sosodis, just Google the name, you'll understand what. This is a guy that was a Ghanaian spy back in the 1980s. And, bro was a spy. And this time the American government did not like the Ghanaian president, for national security, whatever reason they gave at the time. But, they're always lying. Empires lie all the time. It's not something that's unique to America, by the way. Every big country, well, they lie all the time. The Spanish and the Portuguese lied all the time. Which is why I pointed out earlier that they went to South America and they killed a lot of people and burned a lot of Mayan, of Mayan, Aztec, and Incan literature in the name of Jesus. Well, they were just lying there. By the way, with the papal approval. That was the worst lie ever. I'm telling you. But these guys are loaded. It turns out when you lie a lot and steal a lot, you become rich. When you are honest, you become broke. I'm not giving you guys ideas. I'm just looking at the global events and going like, hey, like, can I participate in this whole stealing thing? And then I realize I don't have the muscles to survive prison. So the best I can do is make jokes for people to laugh and then they pay me. And so far, I'm doing great. Moving on. So everything that you see, everything that you see America doing today, it's not something that's new. Every history lover knows that empires lie all the time to justify stealing resources. That's one thing they all have in common. Whether they are lying in the name of spreading democracy, whether they are lying in the name of spreading our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whether they are lying in the name of spreading any type of religion, but religion have been used more often, like a lot. Any type of religion have been used to spread empires and steal resources. That's one thing they all have in common. They just spread to steal resources. That's all. Anything else that they are telling you, spread democracy. Now lie. What type of democracy did they spread to Libya? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because Libya is now a literal slave market. Literally. That's not how you spread democracy. And the history is not surprising. Every time the people, and we've seen this with Iran and Indonesia, interesting enough, the events both takes place in the 1950s. And one thing that you see is that, the people vote in a leader democratically. And then a bunch of foreign countries, take military action and then overthrow that leader. And then a military dictator takes power and they rule for decades, killing pretty much everyone that disagrees with them. Then all of a sudden, the guys that spread democracy, they don't have a problem with the dictator. I mean, they criticize the guy in the media, but that's pretty much it. The same thing happened with Mobutu Sese Seko. The same thing happened with yours truly, John Bedel Bokassa. The same thing happened with the Shah of Iran. And there's this Indonesian dictator guy I keep forgetting. You see the same thing with who is this guy? In East Africa, Eastern Europe, Slobodan Milosevic, all these guys. These are just a bunch of dictators that, interesting enough, seem to be taking over power after the overthrow of a democratically elected president. And the people come together and they vote for a leader. That leader doesn't last a year in office and they are overthrown. A dictator takes over power and they rule for decades, with an iron fist. And they seem to have a very interesting relationship with the countries that supposed to promote democracy. Did you know that the G-Wagon that we love today was a brainchild of the Shah of Iran, the dictator that took over after the overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh back in 1953. So also, Volkswagen is a brainchild of yours truly, Austrian painter, aka Adolf Hitler. So I think if you have to ask advice from any dictator, ask them about cars. They seem to have a knack because both cars are just, they're amazingly high performance, awesomely looking and really big brands. Nice. I mean, I'm just saying it's interesting how the history of every dictator seems to give birth to a very nice looking, awesome, world revered car brand. Or more model. I never thought of it like that. But anyway, let's take a quick break and then we'll continue on the other side. And on the other side, let's talk about Good Friday. And as you know that on the anerkannt Onsal Afrikaans geprat, and before we get to that anerkannt, let me just say happy... What's happy in Afrikaans again? Happy, Goed Vrijdag, alles van Namibian, wherever Jay shall find thyself, whether it's Jay Fies shall find thyself so in Namibia or Jay Fies find thyself outside Namibia, thy inner kind of the sea. Man, my Afrikaans is improving, man. Shout out to me.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The time is 29 minutes left to the 29 past the hour of 10. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Mind the Gap with Helmed on Eagle FM. I went a little wild there. Now, let me walk you through this whole Good Friday holiday for those of you that missed the memo. Pardon me. Because this is an adopted holiday, I decided to get the information from the ultimate introducer of the holiday, a.k.a. colonizer. Now, moving on. From the Encyclopedia Colonizer, that's what I call Encyclopedia Britannica, because Encyclopedia Britannica is Latin for British Encyclopedia. The American equivalent is Encyclopedia Americana. Really? Just say... Nice. Quick break.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
10:30, let's look into this whole Good Friday thing. According to Encyclopedia Colonizer, Good Friday, the Friday before Easter, the day on which Christians annually observe the commemoration of crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You know, that's the name that, that's the day that we, we are told, according to the good book, that someone who came to tell us to live together in peace, we told him, actually, we are not ready to live together in peace. And he kept pushing it, so we ended up crucifying him. And after crucifying him, we decided, okay, well, now that we've crucified the guy, how about making money from, his crucifixion? So we decided, hang on a second. Let's find the biggest excuse to not go to work every, Good Friday, on the day that we crucified the guy that told us to live in peace. So we decided, let's turn that into a holiday. Do you see the irony? We are told, according to the good book, someone came to tell us to live together in peace and harmony. We crucified the guy, and then on the day of his crucifixion, we decided to celebrate, we are going to turn that into a holiday so we can commemorate the guy we just crucified. Well, why didn't you just leave him alive then, if you like him that much? I'm so going to hell. But anyway, Now, from the early days of Christianity, Good Friday was observed as a day of sorrow, penance, and fasting. Yeah, I'm not participating in that. I'm already thin and also broke. And now, actually, well, I don't think, okay, I'm participating, but not on purpose, on the fasting part. Good Friday was observed as a day of sorrow, penance, and fasting. A characteristic that finds itself in a German work Freitag and sorrowful Friday. Following the Synoptic Gospel, aka the first four books of the New Testament for my fellow Christians. The mainstream of Christian tradition was held that Jesus' last meal with his disciple on the evening before his crucifixion was a Passover. Really? Nice. Yeah, so we're like, eat, because we're gonna crucify you tomorrow. So we decided not only to celebrate his crucifixion and his ascension, but also the day that he ate his last meal. What? I'm just saying it's interesting. Interesting. Man of God. Spiritu Santo. Yeah. Anyway. Moving on. Now, that would place the date on which Jesus died on 15 Nisan of the Jewish calendar, or the first day, starting at sundown or Passover. No kidding. According to the Gregorian, you see, this is why I was telling you earlier that we can change this so we can have at least three different Good Fridays. One for those that get paid on the 20th, another one that get paid for those that get paid on the 25th, and the other one for those that get paid on month end, because making it sound like everyone has money on the middle of the month is not fair. It's not inclusive. So, because we are a country that's promoting inclusivity, I don't see the inclusivity on having one Good Friday only for teachers and police officers. So, what type of a Good Friday am I supposed to have in the middle of the month when I'm broke? Nonsense. Moving on. Now, according to the Gregorian calendar, named after the guy called Pope Gregory, that date would be April 7th. The gospel according to Johannes, John, Juan, Jan, same name. In contrast, holds a Passover had not yet begun when Jesus' final meal was held, which would place the date of Jesus' death at 14 Nisan. However, 14 Nisan. I'm not sure if this is Nisan March or Nisan GT. You do your own Googling on that one. But I'm most likely to go with Nisan GT. Nisan March. Who designed that thing, by the way? It looks funny. With all due respect to Nissan. Nissan R35 Skyline. That thing is a masterpiece. But much? Really? Do you guys run out of designers or what? Skyline. That's a masterpiece. That is Nissan's stratosphere of craft, actually ionosphere of craftsmanship. It's a guy thing. You won't understand. Now, according to the same world book, Christians, however, do not commemorate it on a fixed date, because we are Christians. We are holy once a week and sinners for 6 days a week. You know, we go out there and drink and get laid, and every Sunday we're like, Holy Father, we bring ourselves to you. And then after that, yo, where are we going after this? That's Christianity. So I understand why we don't have a fixed date to celebrate, this whole Easter thing, because, well, we have different camouflage. We are sinners Monday to Saturday, and then, you know, once a week, every Sunday, we are holy, you know, at least for a few hours that we are in church. And for those of us that go to church on Saturday, from Sunday to Friday, sinners, Maximus, Saturday, oh, we're very holy. Here am I, go to thee, nearer to thee. I saddened by my fellow Seventh-day Adventist. All to Jesus I surrender. Oh, there's a notification. Oh, I have to go to work. Wait, what? You just said, well, Paul, to Jesus, you surrender now. Well, I was just singing. Leave me alone. Bye. Instead of having a fixed day to celebrate, you know, to celebrate this whole, Good Friday or Easter, whatever this holiday that we are celebrating. Some of us, you know, just show up at the club and get drunk with the room. But anyway, instead of having a fixed day to celebrate, the whole Passover, aka Easter, Christians follow the apparently flexible date of the Passover, which conforms to the Jewish lunisolar calendar. There's another reason for flexibility. Loony. Cuckoo. You know, at this point, I may as well just become an Afrikaans teacher because I think I'm doing great. Moving on. The reason why we don't have a fixed day to celebrate Easter is because we, you know, instead of having a fixed day like others, we decided to go with the, you know, with the Looney Solar. Looney Tunes. Crazy is a fancy word for it. Actually, well, it's just a straight up word for it. But anyway. Now, decided to go with the Looney Solar calendar rather than the Gregorian calendar. By relating the Last Supper to the Seder and commemorated on Maori Thursday. I don't know what the heck that means. Although that assumption is problematic. Yeah, hence the loony part of the explanation. Problematic. The dating of both Good Friday and Easter has preceded on that basis. Thus, Good Friday falls between March 20th and the first possible date of Passover and April 23rd, which Easter falling, with Easter falling 2 days later. See? Loony. Cuckoo. Crazy. The question of whether and when to observe Jesus' death and resurrection triggered a major controversy in the early days of Christianity until the 4th century. Turns out to have been kicking the heck out of each other before we decided, how about we just make it flexible instead of having a fixed date? You can imagine a bunch of Christians were going, no, it's this day, it's not that one. Or it was like, oh, all right, fine. To accommodate everyone, how about we just, you know, pick a different date every day, every year. Everyone happy? Great. Man, there's a pastor somewhere praying for me right now. So, sorry, but it's just a comedy show. You're supposed to laugh and leave everything here. Thank you. Now, until the 4th century, Jesus' Last Supper, Jesus' Last Supper, his death and his resurrection were observed in one single commemoration on the evening before Easter. Since then, the three events have been observed separately, Easter as a commemoration of Jesus' resurrection being considered the pivotal event. It turns out, before the 4th century, this, you know, resurrection, Last Supper, and crucifixion were celebrated as one event. And then we decided, now we don't have enough holidays to miss work. So how about we just, you know, spread them across so we at least have a week or two of not going to work. Whoever invented that was a genius. So we decided to spread it across and, you know, now we have several days. That was genius. I'm just saying. I know I'm at work, but that's, you know, that's genius. That's one of those things that makes me miss being a teacher, because these are the holidays that I enjoyed. I know Easter is coming. I'll just be chilling at home and gaming. And then I joined the radio. Don't get me wrong. I like my job and the money. and the violence, because, you know, it's, I find it very therapeutic. I know. So, and then there's a bunch of, a lot of explanations, and that brings us to Easter. Well, it turns out, Easter has its own interesting historical, you know, origin. Easter, Easter, principal festival of the Christian church, which celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the third day after his crucifixion. The earliest recorded observer of Easter celebration comes from the second century, though the commemoration of Jesus' resurrection probably occurred earlier. The English word Easter, which parallels the German word, Ostern, I hope I'm not insulting anyone here, Germans, is of uncertain origin, according to Encyclopedia Colonizer. Now, this is the language that if you followed, you know, the English language, if you went back, you know, if you went back in the history of the English language, you'll get, by the time that you get to the 11th century, you'd barely understand most of it. The King James, for example, the King James version is coming out of what, like 1611? And a lot of us don't like, a lot of us Christians don't like that book because the English is just too old to understand. Now, imagine going back to the 11th century. You'd barely understand anything. A lot of it will begin to sound very German. So, it's not surprising that the word Easter can be traced to the, you know, the origin of the word Easter itself can be traced to the German word, Ostern. I think it must be one of those names that's common in German. Before you start saying, oh no, you are not pronouncing it right. Both Namibians and Germans, Germans and Namibian Germans, all of you mispronounce a bunch of things in this country. Let's start with, it's Oshomwithe, not Oshomwise.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia, all our branches nationwide. Always prepare.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
We have 15 minutes to the end of Mind the Gap, and we are still just scratching the surface on Easter. Now, the earliest record, we have that alien. Now, one view expounded by the Venerable Bede in the 8th century was that Easter is derived from some fancy, you know, Anglo-Saxon goddess, possibly associated with spring and fertility. Now, the reason why I decided to go up to that is because I know how much fertility will be done during this festive season. And because every time we have a holiday, that's when, you know, distance relationship, you know, we meet. Speaking of which, I have a lot of traveling to do. That's when we meet and, you know, engage in very fertility related activities. It turns out the best time to engage in fertility related activities, according to the history of the holiday of Easter, is now. What are you talking about? Go deeper, man of Eagle FM. Okay, fine. I'll go deeper. Now, in the modern era, the connection between Ostre and spring have been disputed. She may have been a local protective deity, a fancy way of saying local protective god, or bouncer god. Go with that. Or bodyguard, god, a deity rather than a fertility figure. Oh, really? Let's go with the fertility on this one, since we know that's what we are practicing more. Now, this view presumes as does the view associated with the origins of Christmas on December 25th with the celebration of winter solstice. Well, this is why I started with empire. I have 13 minutes. This is why I started with empire. You know, when you look at the whole Greek gods thing, the Roman gods, every Roman god that you mention today has a Greek equivalent. Why? Because when the Greek Empire fell, the Romans took over. Well, they also took over their temples. When they took over their temples, they renamed every Greek god was given a Roman name. The messenger god Hermes, for example, was renamed to Mercury. And you have, Hera was renamed what? Juno, where I'm told you get the word January. And, who's this? Zeus in Greek mythology became Jupiter. Interesting enough, in Greek mythology, Jupiter is, Jupiter, the supreme god, had a younger brother. In Greek mythology, Zeus, the supreme god, had a younger sister. The younger sister was Hera. Younger sister who, at some point, he had a misguided erection and decided to rape, and then turn around and married. I know, it's that gross. I know. The same story seems to be transpire between, Jupiter and Hera. And, yikes. Well, the thing is, that's what empires have basically been doing. They've been renaming things coming down history for a very long time. Which is why you see that, Christmas have been renamed, Easter have been renamed, just celebrate the holiday, don't look into the history. That's a comedian thing because, it makes it very easy for me to make fun of them. And it turns out now it's very understandable because if the gods were marrying their blood sisters, yikes. Where do you even start that relationship? How do you move from high sister to high sweetheart? Now, moving on. What you see here is the best you can do is just celebrate the holiday, please. If you look into the history, you are not going to like what you're going to find. It's like the same thing that kids do when they go around asking their parents, where do babies come from? Sweetheart, for the sake of your sanity, grow up first and then ask the questions. Don't ask them now. Otherwise then, you know, all that money that your parents are supposed to spend on your college, they'll be spending that on your therapy. There are questions you don't want to ask now. Wait until you grow up and you are ready to digest these questions. Then you can ask them. Because if you ask them now, even if you have one of the very honest and yet disturbing and honest parent, and they are willing to tell you the truth, and they told you the whole truth, you will end up with pictures you will never be able to unsee. And you will need a lot of therapy. And let's face it, in this economy, no parent want to spend that money on therapy when they could be saving it for you to go to college. You know, when you go to college, you learn all these things on your own. And at that time, you are old enough to understand some of it. And also, you are old enough to drink when you have, when you are going through a heartbreak. I think I'm beginning to understand why we are told to stay away from relationships when you are under the age of 18. I know we try these things out when we are, 16 and 17, and then after a heartbreak, we realize, that explains a lot. The reason why they told me to stay away from boys, or the reason why they told my parents to stay away from girls is until I'm 18 is because, when you are 18, you're allowed to drink. So, when you're 18 and you're going through a heartbreak, you can just, open a bottle of beer or two to calm the nerves down. So you don't go ballistic and then start punching someone's daughter and find yourself in jail. And in jail, that punching that you are doing to someone's daughter in jail, in jail you are someone's son who is going to, receive some punches. Now, the difference is, when you punch her, she can call the police. behind bars when you get panel beaten, no one is going to call. Well, you're already in police custody, so if I were you, I will stick to diplomatic way of settling relationship disputes. Just sit and talk things out. Holiday times, drivings are hyped. We have car accidents, so drive safe. Well, the roads are, you have a lot of traffic because everyone is traveling, so drive safe. And when you meet your loved one and you, in the middle of your chilling, you look at their phone and see MTC telling them that, I miss you, I can't wait to see you again. Or FNB telling them that, last weekend was awesome, I can't wait to do that again. Or they're going to tell them, you know, telling them, are you with your wife? I want to come over. You know, if you happen to come across SMSs like that during this festive season, you have to realize, especially for my gender, since we are the ones that like to resort to very American way of solving problem, you know, by spreading democracy using bombs. Don't do that. Because if you do that, you'll find yourself in police custody. And whatever you do to her, that's one thing I like about, you know, prison cells, especially for rapists. I'll leave it there because Karen is listening, you know. Just remember that anything that you do to her will be done to you behind bars. Unless you have the muscles to defend yourself. Oh boy, oh boy, boy, oh boy. Every time you pick a soap, bam! You are going to go in the street by you come back, by you know, by the time that you come back. Be like, no, I found myself. No, you didn't. Leave the LGBTQ out of this. You applied for this on your own. And, I mean, thank you for the conversion, but let's stop pretending like it was voluntary. Okay, I need a break because it's now getting out of hand. I mean, crane hands, mine, oh, I can go on forever.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Happy Friday, alles van Namibian, wherever die find thyself. Alright, anyone that wanna take Afrikaans lessons? Because I think I, at this point, I'm qualified enough to teach Afrikaans. Well, I didn't say fluent. Just saying, you know, teach Afrikaans. Chances are very high you'll insult if, you know, a couple of Damara and colored guys, then they will punch you in the face. But the bottom line is, at least you learned, you know, no risk, no reward, guys. Let's understand that. Let me wrap it up with, when are we going to start commemorating our own holidays? Please, please. I've been asking myself that question for a very long time. Then I came to realize that, to come up with holidays, first you must come up with a calendar. And then I looked at our calendar. I was like, okay, well, that's totally understandable. And I'm looking across Africa and going like, only if there's a place where we can find a calendar that is African. Oh, look, there is Ethiopia. We laugh at them every time they celebrate their New Year. We laugh at them every time they celebrate their Christmas. I mean, we laugh at them. Aren't they still in 2019? Has someone told them about COVID-19? Hang on a second. Where are the Ethiopians today? Ethiopia right now, according to the Ethiopian calendar, I know Nepal is in 2078 or 2079, somewhere there. That country with a funny looking flag. And, Ethiopia, on the other hand, oh yeah, there we go. Oh no, they are not even in 2019. They are in 2017. What year is, well, Ethiopia's year starts, starts on the 12th of September. In a Gregorian calendar year. Last time I checked, Ethiopia is in Africa. Gregorian calendar. That's from Pope Gregory, an Italian guy, right? So, a calendar that's more familiar to us is the Ethiopian one. But, you know, we all look at Ethiopia like, well, celebrating, well, New Year in September. Who are you guys? Ethiopia is asking us the same question. Who the heck are you? Oh, yeah, we are Africans, Ubuntu, Pan-Africans, you know, Pan-Africanism. Well, we have a Pan-African parliament, by the way, which, you know, follows the Gregorian calendar. Can you know, believe me, we are that drunk, thanks to colonialism. Thank you very much, Britain and Germany, although this one is on the Pope. This one is on, you know, this one is on, you know, this one is on Catholics, but, so, since we are on this whole decolonize thing, you have to decolonize your mind. And by the way, Merry Christmas. Wait, what? Yes, you have to decolonize. Let's push the Pan-Africanist movement. It's time for Africans to rule themselves. When were you born? January 13th. Huh? Well, not judging. I'm just saying the things that we are saying and the things that we are doing are conflicting. That's my diplomatic way of saying we are, what's the word that's used in that encyclopedia colonizer? Loony. Lunatic.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just $300 Namibian a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepared.
The time is 11 o'clock on the dot, so while we are on this whole loony part, it's a Friday, so for me, until Monday, same time, same place here on Eagle FM, since, well, the beauty of it is I don't have a weekend show. My weekend is for me and my Nigerian buddies to just go out there and, you know, commit imaginary murder in video games. And, well, if you are one of those CODM players, chances are very high we have murdered each other before, but we just didn't know that we are both Namibians. Most of the, closest guys that I game with, Nigerians, you know, and South Africans. Although when it comes to, you know, when it comes to Namibians and South Africans, it's difficult to tell because I've ran into a bunch of guys speaking Afrikaans, like, all the time, but it's hard to tell. My mic is off. I don't talk. I just, you know, snipe the heck out of everyone who's not on my side. And so, with that, let me just say goodbye in a special way by using my favorite language. That's, you know, Afrikaans. My second favorite language. My favorite language is Timbukushu. Yeah. My second favorite language, that's Afrikaans. And then my third favorite language is every African language. And then English is way down there. Now, moving on. 2 minutes past the hour of 11. That's the when I say goodbye. And my message of the day to all, to Alice Namibian, is that please, Muni Diermekar things, Hemakni, take care, Alice, celebrate. What's careful in Afrikaans again? carefully. Muni steal other people's relationship ni. Muni break ni and other people's cases ni. Muni steal ni other people's cell phones and the decars ni. Muni muni do ni what I wouldn't do. And also muni do ni what I wouldn't do. Be, you know, careful. Alice the out there. There's an Afrikaner fuming. He's abusing our language. You just laugh. This is not colonial time. See your life and your skin. Nonsense. Okay. I have white neighbors. I have to, you know, we really have to wait till I start talking to them. Those guys are cooked. So, this brings us to the end from the Mind the Gap show, Isof and Eagle FM. Alice, enjoy the, what's weekend in Afrikaans? Enjoy the Englechting. And as for me, Isof and Eagle FM, Alice, have a hoot weekend. Right. Until Monday, you'll have a good one.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Mukungu lelewa tuko maikuto wa mina apidi kwa mavucha aziva. Mwele kisema app ato kasi nchavu kamso, zakale liferide, mise kunani zencha. Kuzwa kwa kushimba lifera zari vuka, kuya kwa lifasi la lifera fama kepe. Mwone maikuto amancha a imba app, mwikutwe kulimusie mba santo ye nguyetuna. Mwikole sfera fama kepe, marizo hola mina. Hamuvone. Imba encha ni encha falizwe ikopanya mifuta ya lifera matasa app ilini kukopanya naha ni kuhasa nyali nzwila mlimu. Zengwi zefu mani hamasfera sesfa app ya imba kize tatama Elsin, Ehangano, Oshiherero, Omaemuriro, Catholic, Smane Kakarunga, Afrikaans, ni zengwi zengata. Mululi zeze kachenu, haiva mtavera kulisfera sa kereke ya mina, si ekezwe fa mkoloko walifera za imba, fa 081-2358-063, kapa mlumere imele kwa digital@omalaiti.com. Muzive ni kufumana imba kachenu, mkona kufumana fa App Store ni Google Play Store.
Did you know that in Namibia over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.